I was a student up at St Andrews, and myself and a friend had set up a little student TV company. There was a radio station, and we filmed little packages and put them on YouTube, which was the big new thing at the time, which was a long time ago. And we'd filmed things like elections and events and student things. At the time, my final year, Kate and William actually had got engaged, and obviously they went to St Andrews years before. And their first event they did as an engaged couple was to come back to St Andrews University. So I thought, brilliant, I'm going to go and queue, I'm going to try and get a glimpse of them and film it on my handycam. So I went out really early in the morning, lined up, and there was a little girl with flowers. I thought, that's perfect, I'm going to stand right next to her. So I did, and sure enough, all the main media were penned right down the other end of the street, and Kate and William walked up, came straight to the little girl and took her flowers, and I said, oh, Catherine, can I ask you a couple of questions for Student TV? Yeah, how has it been back here with William? Now you're engaged. Just 2 minutes of conversation. And we filmed it, and we told the university, we've got this great clip, we're going to put it on YouTube. And they said, don't, it'll get taken straight away by the media. Go and tell them that you've got it. So we thought, okay, well. And found the satellite trucks that were across the road. You always kind of look for those. Went to the BBC first and said, we've got this clip. And they offered us a fair amount of money for it. And we thought, brilliant, we could buy some equipment. That's great, some more cameras. But actually what I wanted was work experience. And they said, no, got to go through the official channels. So we went across the road to ITV satellite dish and said, actually, we've just been offered this for the BBC. Would you like it? But we'd like work experience. And they said, yes. So we did get some camera equipment with the money. And then I went down and started working there, doing work experience. And then after I graduated, got trained up on their news desk, which is a bit like being a runner for quite a while. But then, and then you do a lot more, so you do a lot of interviews, and then I ended up doing some journalism on the side, a course that I was going to do originally, and got based at Westminster for quite a bit, which was very different to the Royal News, which I ended up then doing for quite a few years. So that's kind of how I fell into it, slightly random.
Brilliant. And can you give us just a few highlights of your time working with the Royals?
Yeah, I think it's a real mixture of different types of things that we covered. So the sort of day-to-day, normal royal official engagements that you do regularly during the week. There were the big scale events, so weddings, babies, spent a long time waiting outside the Lindo Wing for things to happen, but that was in rain or shine. And then there were the big talks, which were the long kind of 2 to 3 week trips away, which you do with kind of your counterparts, it's Sky, BBC, when it's like a pack, a media pack. And I guess it was on those trips that often the main highlights. Seeing things from behind the scenes was fascinating. Things like you could maybe be on a flight, often we flew with them on a small private plane, and they would only be a few rows ahead. Kate's hair in rollers, dresses laid out, getting her makeup done, ready to land. She'd literally get into the aeroplane loo, get her clothes on for the trip. We'd all get sort of booted out the back when we landed, line up as if we'd been there the whole time, in whichever country we were arriving in, and then they'd come out and wave. And it's just the sort of hilarious off-camera moments that were very natural and interesting and funny. Brilliant moment once when we were in Bhutan, where the national sport is archery, and we were watching incredible national archers. They were amazing. And they asked Kate and William to have a go, and so Kate did incredibly well. She fired an arrow that all of us were kind of surprised by, and we couldn't actually film it quick enough. And then William had a go. I kid you not, it actually almost hurt his feet. And he started laughing and turned to us and said, please, can I do it again? It's far too embarrassing, I want to redo it. Anyway, just very... personal moments that were amusing. Just like that.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I'd never have thought that a royal producer would actually see the royals actually personally. How did you find them as people?
Good question. I think you do see them off camera, and they are different, and they're much more relaxed. It's very interesting to chat to them. We did have really good moments of conversation where we might be in a small room doing a sit-down interview with one of them, and so you do get to chat to them. They get to know you and your team, because it's always the same team filming everything. And then we did have, at the end of trips, there was always a sort of, say we were in India, which we went to most probably, you'd have a drinks reception with them afterwards, with just the media who were filming with them. And often we would chat about times at university. I always used to ask them how they found St Andrews, and they'd talk about the kids a bit. And so there was a personal element. And I think it made me realise that they were just normal people doing a job, and they made mistakes, and we saw that on and off camera. They were real people. And I think my Christian faith actually made a real difference in the way that I viewed them, and also how I wanted to film them. It's very easy in journalism to want the scoop, to want the exclusive. But I was really conscious that I didn't want to compromise, that I wanted to sort of truthfully show how they were and who they were. And I think it really affected my view of them as people. These were real people and I cared for them and I wanted to be fair. So I think, it, you know, I often get calls from the news desk asking us to do crazy things or things that just seem really inappropriate and we're just learning to say no and not willing to compromise. So those were the hard things, but you did get to know them personally as well on that level.
That's wonderful to hear, yeah. And what do you think you would say you'd hope for the Royals?
Oh, that's a good question. I think what I would hope for King Charles, and I think I would hope this for all of them, but for, particularly for King Charles at the moment, there was that whole debate about what he was going to say during the coronation. Was he going to claim sort of defender of the faith, what was that going to be? I think my big concern was more, has he really looked into what this faith is? Does he know who Jesus is? Has he looked into who Jesus is as an adult? And is this faith even worth defending? Has he asked that question? And most of the people, I reckon, within that debate, in the wider debate, maybe had never really looked into who Jesus is or what this faith is at all, ever in their lives, and yet we were all discussing it like everyone knew what Christianity was all about. And I think my biggest, I guess, concern and desire for King Charles is that he does look into who Jesus is and that he sort of finds out for himself and comes to know Jesus personally. And I would say that for all the worlds. I know that it's interesting, a lot of people have a lot of different perspectives on what King Charles would be like, on all the roles, on what, you know, what's Meghan like, what's Harry like. And I think people have a little bit of a similar view to the way they view Jesus, that you can have all these different opinions on who Jesus is. But actually, when you look at him and look at his claims, they're huge claims. He claims to be God, but he's either speaking the truth or he's actually crazy. And it's quite binary, and I would kind of challenge people on that. I think that there's truth in it. It's one or the other. And I think people sort of have this view, there's lots of opinions, but actually when you look into who he is, it's a big claim. The Queen herself does share my faith, and it's amazing when you hear about how she describes the Lord Jesus, and this great quote about her saying she would lay her crown at the true King's feet, and King Jesus. And it's amazing hearing her say that. I think you can see that in her life. And it's great to see that she shares the faith that I have too, and she does know who Jesus is.
Mm. That's brilliant. And can you just give us a bit of your background? How did you come to have this faith for yourself?
I think I always knew something of who Jesus was when I was younger. It wasn't really until I was a teenager that I think I fully heard the gospel clearly. So the good news of Jesus, who he is, what his claims are, who he says he is and what he's come to do. It was on a kids' camp that I heard a really clear talk, and it got me asking a lot of questions. It was actually from John's Gospel. I think there are John's Gospels on your table. In fact, if you can grab one, do. There's a verse that was read out that really struck me as a kid. It's on page 60. It's the end of chapter 20, verse 30, at the very top of page 60. It says there, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And there was a later verse, actually just further on, page over, page 62. "This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true." I know that I was always very inquisitive as a teenager. I had lots of questions, and maybe that's why I went into journalism, but always wanting to get answers on things. And this really struck me that actually, this is eyewitness evidence. These Gospels are written by eyewitnesses, and their testimony is true, it's trustworthy. So even now, our legal system relies on a corroboration of eyewitness testimony. We still trust it, it's legally, yeah, it's legal. And it was true then. So these are people that saw Jesus, knew him, and these were written, these Gospels, during the lifetime of many people that had seen these events. They could have, you know, disputed them. But many people, you know, they weren't disputed. So I think for me, suddenly the evidence and weight of what the Bible was saying and the truth behind it was real to me. And I realised that actually I really wanted to investigate this further. We know so many people have told me this, and I think it's really helpful that actually we would never question the existence of someone like Julius Caesar. But actually, when you look at the document evidence, there is so much more reliable historical evidence for Jesus' life, death, and resurrection than even Caesar, and we would never question that. So I think I was really challenged. There's a quote by a historian lecturer at Oxford who said that I am a Christian because I'm a historian. And I found that really helpful. It's truth, it's evidence, it's history. And I wanted to look further into who Jesus was. So I did. I started to read the Gospels. As you look through John, and do flick through it in your own time, but incredible descriptions of his miracles, Jesus' miracles, things that only God can do, and I couldn't explain them away. These were God things, and I wanted to know more. And the Bible was so true to what I saw in the world around me. In fact, it was the most realistic description of the world around me as I kind of looked further, but the pain, suffering, it was honest about the world I lived in, it was real. And I think I could see that this attitude of I'll pull my socks up and I'll do better to please God, wasn't really going to cut it. There was a big problem in this world. There's a real mess here, and I could see it, and it was true in the Bible. We needed help, and I think then, hearing of Jesus and what he offers, that as he died on the cross and paid the price for all that I'd done to kind of rebel against God, which I knew I'd done. I think we'd be lying if we didn't know we weren't perfect. I knew I wasn't perfect. And just that rebellion, that sin, that turning my back on my Creator, I could see that this gift of forgiveness was just amazing, and I wanted to know more. I really wanted to look into that and find out what that meant for me. That meant that I could have a relationship with my Creator, and that Jesus was the true King. We all crave security, don't we, in life? And I realised that actually what Jesus offered was security forever, and I just thought, well, we all want that. That's amazing. So yeah, that's how for me I kind of, put my trust in Jesus as my King.
Sounds like quite a journey you went on. It must have been quite mind-changing, potentially life-changing as well. Did it have any implications for how life went on for you after sort of realising these things about Jesus and who he was?
Yeah, I think, exactly. I think it did. I think I realised that if what Jesus was saying was true, so he is my Creator, he is the Lord, that he died for me, that he's risen again, that he's ruling now, that means that he's actually reigning as King right now as we sit in this room, that he is my King, and that has to therefore affect all parts of my life. It can't just be a Sunday thing. I think it took me a while to get there and realise that it's, you know, if he is actually the King, he's the King of everything, and he's the King of all of me, and therefore my priorities, the way I use my time, my goals in life. I'm now actually a full-time mum, so I've gone from kind of the crazy hours of travelling, you know, the world effectively a lot, to a lot of busyness at home, long hours at home, let's just say that. So different pace of life, different world, but my desires for, as you asked earlier, what would I hope for the King? It's actually the same as what I hope for the mums at the school gate now. I long for the people I meet at the school gate to know who Jesus is, the truth of Jesus as an adult to look into, maybe for the first time. And it's what I long for my colleagues who I still meet up with, and we're really close with, and I still love them, and I long that they too would know that. So I've just realised that actually, every part of my life, wherever I'm placed, whether it's currently at home, working there, or whether it's back doing what I'm doing, maybe in the future, in a year to come, or 2 years, that my priorities are the same. I long for people to know who Jesus is, and it does affect every part of my life. It affects my kind of goals, and even in my career. People always say, when you go back to work, and what will you do? And I mean, I think it's slightly more irrelevant to me now. I think, actually, I know my ultimate home. As we look down that verse again, on page 60, so verse 30 of chapter 20 in John's Gospel. So now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And I think knowing that I have this life, by putting my trust in Jesus, the Son of God, I have this life in his name, this eternal life, actually, that means I know where I'm going. And therefore, everything I do now is shaped by that. So, as you ask, yeah, it has changed the way I view everything I'm doing each day. And it's wonderful. And I would say that if you haven't ever looked at John's Gospel, because it really did affect my whole life, do take it away and read it. I think so many people as an adult have never actually looked back at the claims of Jesus and who he is, and really looked at the kind of truth behind it. It's either true or it's not. And if it's true, it's actually huge. It's eternally significant. So basically, no better way of spending your time over a few hours at the weekend. Get your head into John's Gospel and start reading.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Emma. We'll have time for Q&A in just a moment. You said that Queen Elizabeth had a strong faith. Please can you share some stories of her faith in action?
Mm. That's a great question. I think I was always quite sceptical of sort of just naturally. I didn't really know what her faith meant to her, how it kind of was acted out. And the, you know, her family background is confusing and there's lots going on. I think her role would have made it very difficult actually as well. There's an amazing story. A friend of ours works up at Balmoral, a friend through work, and works up there, and where she's worked, it's basically her favourite place. She went there all the time. It's where she always wanted to be. She often informally used to say that. And her favourite possession in Balmoral is Queen Victoria's Bible is there. And supposedly she chatted to this friend who was on staff at Balmoral about her favourite verses that Victoria had underlined. And the Queen, when she was up there, would each day go back over the passages. And a lot of them were gospel, so parts of John's gospel, amazing letters, epistles. And Victoria had notes in the margins as well. And the Queen treasured, she genuinely treasured this Bible. And I think the more I heard of her desire to know the Lord better through reading his word each day, that really encouraged me. I think that does show a relationship, doesn't it? If you've got a relationship with Jesus, we want to be reading the Bible and hearing from the Lord each day, don't we? But also she prayed a lot. So before events, a friend of ours was on her. So even though we were pressed, you got to know her team, her private secretaries very well, because often we were travelling with them. And they said that she prayed a lot. So before big events, she would pray, not necessarily with the staff, but they would maybe be in the room with her at the time, about things that she would say or not say. You know, it was really quite personal. So I think knowing more of her real faith, and that actually did shape how she did her job. And of course, we're all human, and I think that was helpful to remember as well. We all make mistakes. Some of her life was very difficult, and I'm sure there were things that she regretted. But I think, especially during the end of the last few years of her life, her faith was very real, and more real than I think it probably had been before that, which is encouraging. I hope that answers something.
Any other questions?
How does your faith affect, you spoke about it a little bit, but how does it affect the way you view journalism and truth and ability to like communicate that across to people?
Brilliant. So how does your faith affect your journalism, your understanding of truth and the way to communicate that to people?
That's really helpful. I think firstly on the truth thing, I think what's interesting is the world sort of doesn't really like to think there's truth anymore. It's an interesting concept, and yet we all know there is. And we all joke about fake news, which means there must be true news. So I always find that challenging. But I think because I'm a Christian, I know there is truth, and I know that actually the more you look in the Bible, we see the truth of Jesus in it. And I think knowing that we can be truthful helped me as a journalist. I really wanted to be fair. And as you start out in journalism, it's very, very tempting to be asked to do things that will progress your career. They say will train you up, get on the street, do door knocking, do all these things, which you do end up doing some of, but not quite the extent to what, I think people, investigative journalists, do a lot more than I was willing to do. And I think I had to be quite careful, even things like signing documents. I was often asked to sign things for colleagues when I was more junior, and little things like that, and I remember just thinking, oh, I don't know if I'm okay with that. That feels fraudulent, but everyone was doing it. And just little things that I would just question in my faith and think through. Is this okay? Would I be happy to do this in front of the Lord Jesus? I often used to ask myself, actually. And particularly journalism, the big thing I mentioned earlier is you want exclusives and you want scoops. There are ways of doing that in a non-compromising way. And we would rejoice over, we wanted to just sit down with William that we'd been longing to get on wildlife poaching, and everyone had been out trying to get it, and we did a pitch and we got to sit down and we were so excited, and it was a great season, and there was nothing about it that was at all, he was portrayed very fairly. Everything he said was put across, I thought, in the quotes that came out in papers later were really fair and true to what he'd wanted to say. He may have made some mistakes during the interview, but actually on the whole it was totally fair. And things like that, I think we were so, I had to just be really careful, because it was really easy to get swept up in a desire to progress my career by basically hanging a few people out to dry here and there. And it happens a lot, we see it all the time. It's a lot harder to be unfair in broadcasting than papers, because we can't just grab a quote necessarily and write a big article around it. We have to show the footage we've got. So I found that a bit easier. And also ITV as a channel is a really kind of flag-waving, we love the Royal Channel, which made it a little bit easier to be less, I think I'd have struggled with Channel 4, particularly. We often film things for Channel 4. Weirdly, ITV and Channel 4 are connected, and all of our Royal footage that I filmed was always on Channel 4. It's what they used. But we were often asked to do things by them, and we thought, I don't think we'll do that this time. Their news is brilliant in lots of ways, but some of the things I wouldn't have done. So I think it was just being fair and not willing to compromise. So I wanted, my colleagues knew I was a Christian, and daily that affected me. I'm sure you find that in your offices. If your colleagues know you're a Christian, it really challenged me. I knew they'd be looking at my life and the decisions that I was making, the way that I was working, and I wanted to show them that I really did believe what I said. Otherwise, I was going to degrade the gospel to them, and when I held out Jesus, I'm not sure they would have trusted me because they would have seen that I wasn't really living by that. So that challenged me too. The way I lived did affect my witness to them, and I wanted them to hear of Jesus and to put their trust in him. So I think I knew that my lifestyle and my work ethic was going to have to be on show on that front as well.
Can I ask a question about your transition from working for ITV and becoming a full-time mum, and how knowing Jesus has influenced that in terms of so much of our identity and worth now is tied up in having a great job and the rest of it. How has knowing Jesus helped you or not with that?
Yes.
So how have you found the transition from maybe glamorous ITV news producer for the Royals? How's it been transitioning to a full-time mum? Has your faith in Jesus made any impact on that, especially as we tend to put our identity in our job?
It's a really helpful question. I think a lot of mum's faces, but also, I mean, my dad just retired recently, and I know him, his job is his identity. It's a big thing. Mm. And I think any change like that does make you question your identity, your security, where you find your value. And I think suddenly I was going from, you're right, but sort of more glamorous travelling a lot to lots of nappies, much less glamorous, and being very tired all the time. I think at the beginning it's quite a change. I do remember thinking, wow, this is really different. But what I found so helpful is if I'm always working for the Lord first, it's sort of irrelevant what I'm doing. And I think as long as I was doing that work, and then as I moved to being a mum at home, which is relentless in lots of different ways, but I want to serve the Lord in the way that I'm a mum, in the way I spend my time. We mentioned Schoolgate, all these opportunities, new people that I was meeting, this whole new area of life that I didn't know existed really beforehand. I've got to know my postman, I've had great chats with him, just using the same kind of desire for the Lord in my life now at home has been brilliant. But I think it's only because of my identity's in Jesus first that I have felt that I've had other friends who have really struggled actually in that transition. It can be really hard, it can be hard anyway. But I think knowing that actually my value is not in my job. I could have lost my job at any point. Journalism is really, really fickle. There's many people lining up for the jobs that after you. I was not irreplaceable. And I think you know that. But my security and trust was in Jesus. And I knew that my value in him never changed. I knew that I was ending up in glory and eternal life with him, that's where I'm headed, and therefore this is a fleeting time. So I think that really helped. I could be doing any job, I could be doing no job, and it would still be the same priorities and same value. And I'd hope that it's a good way, it's a good thing to think about, isn't it, actually? Is my value and my worth in my job? And should it be? Because times change so rapidly. Whereas in Jesus there's full security all the time, no matter what happens. Thank you, it's a great question.
Okay, let's have a final question, Jeff. Yeah, go for it.
There's a bit of negative connotation with royalty and monarchy. Christianity seems quite associated with monarchy. I guess, what do you have in common with that? How we should think about Christianity coupled from that, but also how they're meant to work together.
So in society today, sometimes royalty's got some bad connotations, but it also seems to be quite linked to, I guess, traditional Christianity. Can you comment on that?
Mm. And I think we were really struck by that, the coronation. Anyone watched it, you realised that actually, it was a really Christian service. It was our whole country is still very much based around the Bible, and scripture was quoted throughout the service. And around Jesus Christ. I think I would say that I would, and I always think I felt this, and you'd want to differentiate between institutional, the church, and my faith in Jesus. I think a lot of people view the kind of the royals as a sort of institution and the church as an institution, but I think it actually can be very different to the truth of Jesus and trust in Jesus from what we see in the Bible. I think those two things can be very, very different. I met a lot of people who went to church and a lot of people who were part of the royal institution, and I'm not sure they've got their trust in Jesus. So I think I would want to divide that and say we have a very kind of historically Christian, in a wider sense, country. But actually, as I would say, how many people really have thought about, is this faith worth defending? I would say it is. But I think that kind of, yeah, I think people haven't necessarily dug into what Christianity really means and what the Bible says about Jesus as a person and as the Lord. I think that's something very different. I think in a way it can be unhelpful that the royal sort of, there's often a kind of church service, isn't there, for an anniversary or a... And so we do link the two, but I would say look at who Jesus is in the Bible. Start there first. I think the institutional church is quite messy. We're all messy people, and I think, I would first look at Jesus and the truth of trusting in him.
Yeah, thanks, Emma. And just to add to that, I think it's quite funny how often as we read about Jesus, he was quite... sometimes he made jokes. He never wore robes, really. And just if in our minds we're thinking, oh, very formal, mm-hmm. sort of hundreds of years behind the times, that's quite different from the Jesus we see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks so much for coming. Thank you all for coming too. If you have any questions that you'd like to ask Emma personally, please do. I think we're going to draw some to there now. And hope to see you next week. Have a great afternoon.